Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
How are you?
We are tonight's entertainment.
Midnight movie nights.
Get used to disappointment.
We are the Midnight Movie Nights.
With a K.
Two idiots with microphones bringing you a weekly not safe for work dose of verbal diarrhea about life, pop culture, and most importantly, movies. Today is Saturday, March 21st, the first day of spring 2015. And I am Miranda Janelle.
I'm that fracking cat.
Yeah.
It's first day of spring?
Yep. Totally new season.
How are you supposed to be able to tell out here? Just because the calendar says so?
No. Didn't you feel the air change today?
No. Not from yesterday. It was windy outside a little bit.
How about you, Tim? Did you feel the difference in the air today?
It is pretty damn chilly outside right now. I was not expecting the 56 degree temp after exiting my dwelling from spending the day writing. So it doesn't feel like spring to me at all.
Really? It actually felt warmer here today.
Really? I walked outside and my nipples hardened immediately.
Well, that's cold.
It was chilly. Chilly. They didn't turn quite, you know, purple or blue or anything. So, I mean, the colors stayed the same. It was just the hardening effect. Just like, hey, it's a tidbit nipply outside.
And we are joined by Tim from... Well, Tim, where are you from? Why don't...
I am from Houston, Texas, kind of on the suburb area of Houston and Spring. I went to the University of Houston where... Oh, wait, were you wanting me to talk about the podcast that I am part of? Maybe
I want you to talk about whatever you want to talk about, because I was not expecting you to go into a life story, but I don't think I've heard the full Tim story before. In fact, I think this is the first time that we've actually spoken audibly.
That is true. I mean, I've talked to you guys while listening to your show in my car heading back from work. You know, roughly
you do that
every week or so. I do. I mean, I find myself, you know, filling in the, you know, the, kind of like the short little, you know, silent gaps with my own little input, only to realize that you cannot hear me and I'm stuck in traffic.
It really is the worst.
What, your California traffic?
Well, you guys have Anaheim traffic, which I'm sure lets up after a little while.
Yeah, it's the light version of what you undoubtedly deal with.
It's traffic light, less filling?
Yes, what I'm bitching about is the light beer of traffic.
Traffic 2.0.
I have no idea. I don't go into the traffic. I work overnight, so there's no traffic.
So you guys are still on like the Windows 95 traffic, or maybe the Windows XP traffic. I'm stuck in Windows Millennium traffic. It fucking gets you nowhere, man. Freezes up like that. It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I figure out of anybody, you'd understand. You'd get that joke.
Oh, I have driven into the city. And just hell no. I have become quite adept at avoiding the city during the bad traffic times, which is pretty much, you know, I'm really only in the city between the hours of 3 and 5 a.m. because that's really when rush hour starts in Los Angeles, is 5 a.m.
So what are you doing in downtown L.A. at 3 o'clock in the morning? You're like, I haven't been down here for a while. I'm just going to go check it out at 3 o'clock in the morning, see what you know, rough up some homeless people or something.
Usually trying to get home after, frankly, coming home from something. The last time it was coming home from the Hollywood Bowl.
John Williams.
Hell yeah. Yep,
I knew that.
And had to get off the freeway because I really had to pee. And it's quite difficult to...
Where did you have to go pee at? Usually these peeing stories can lead into a good story.
I think it was the park on 7th.
You went to pee in the park?
Yeah.
It's what you do in Los Angeles, isn't it?
What you do where I'm from, you go find a tree.
Where do you think you find trees in Los Angeles? You go to the park.
Are they all palm trees?
Usually.
No. That's all I see around here is palm trees.
Yeah, right in the middle of the road. That's the one that, you know, like that's the center divider is a bunch of fucking palm trees.
You don't pee there either, do you?
No, you might get clipped.
You might get something, I guess. I don't know.
No, there's not enough cover there. I mean, you can at least stand up and pretend like you're a tree. Why you're leaking sap all over the other tree is beyond people. But
in speaking of leaking sap, I don't know, do you guys have horrible sap on car experiences out in Anaheim? Because Hollywood has been apparently infested.
With sap?
Just infested, okay. Do we still have a Tim on the line? He just went quiet all of a sudden.
It inseminated the trees with this disgusting sap. And
wait,
so
wait,
it's like
wait,
little
wait, 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 wait. Hold on. Are we talking a little plant bukkake here?
It could be. You know, yes. Maybe Matt's been sucking on tree sap.
He's been sucking on some kind of wood.
Oh. Oh, Matt, if you are listening.
I hope he is.
Oh, he's listening. I got a tweet.
You're
already.
Welcome.
I had a sap problem before I left Texas. There were a few trees that were like that. They just rained down sap. But out here, I don't have that problem. I did the other morning have this problem with this white fiber stuff all over my car falling from the tree.
Fiber stuff? Like pollen or pine needles?
No, they were almost like tiny little centimeter long strings. I don't know what that was. I guess maybe that's pollen. I don't.
I guess is pollen strictly the color yellow?
No, this was white. I have no clue. But it was falling from the tree and it was all over the car and I didn't know what was going on. I thought
white stuff
maybe
falling from the sky.
That's why I had to clarify that it was like strings. Instead of just white stuff falling from the sky.
Because I was going to say, maybe there was like somebody in the tree just ejaculating all over your car. Oh, shit, here's the cat. No!
I'm going to have to get my car washed now.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, apparently Johnny made comments about plant bukkake.
Oh, did
he? I guess. I just saw.
Do they have plant bukkake in Canada?
No, that was Matt mentioning.
They do have forests.
They do, yes.
I'm actually wearing a shout out to Revelstoke Gym, Revelstoke, British Columbia, Canada, Star Wars inspired shirt. And actually, I literally cannot face my mic. Turn and look and read what it says, please, because I cannot.
May the forest be with you.
Yeah, may the forest be with you.
So let me ask something, Tim, since you went back a little bit in your history.
Wait. I do need to clarify one thing really quickly. I do know that Johnny is from Alberta, not from British Columbia. Yeah, they are neighbors. I'm just saying I happen, you know, they have forests up in Canada and I'm using May the Forest Be With You as proof of being aware of that. So, yeah.
Would it be offensive to ask Johnny if he is part French? To me, it would seem like he would cause some tension. with him. It's like, how dare you call me France? I don't know. To me, I think of Johnny White Trash and I think anti-French.
I think he doesn't think highly of French Canadians. It seems like that's the case. I'm not sure. He'll probably tweet. He's had to reboot his computer, but he's back. Maybe he'll answer that. I don't know. It does seem like he's talked about French Canadians before, and it didn't sound like he had a pleasant tone in his voice when he said it. But
by the way, had to pee in the park, had to pee in the park, had to pee in the park. Okay. There. Diana, I said it 3 times fast.
Hopefully that becomes like a trending thing online. Hashtag pee in the park.
Hashtag had to pee in the park.
Yeah.
Or Jim had a hashtag Siebes we.
Oh, and by the way, that. There, I also said that 3 times fast.
So you said you went to school in Houston and now you're out here. How long have you been out here?
I've been out here, it'll be 3 years, May 29th.
So did you always live in Texas before that?
I did, yes.
So how long did it take for you to adjust? Because I'm still adjusting.
It took me until literally maybe 5 months ago.
Okay.
4 or 5 months ago. It takes time because you have to find your good like Tex-Mex eateries and your good, you know, Texas barbecue eatery. You know, you need the time to find your familiar spaces, I guess, around town.
Okay. Yeah.
Especially Italian food. I can't find any freaking good Italian food out here.
You got to come to Anaheim.
Is that where the Italian food is at?
We will take you to Mama Cosa's and you will be pleased.
Oh, well, Mama Cosa. It sounds like something I put my beer in to keep it cool.
Nice. Yeah, this is just a restaurant I've been going to since I was in utero, you know, so.
Since you, in what?
In utero.
In utero?
Before I was born, my parents were, yeah. Yep, there's two Anaheim restaurants that I can definitively claim that of. Been eating at them my entire life, and they are something of Anaheim staples.
Was one of them that Mexican food joint?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, we haven't gone back there yet.
What's the name of the Anaheim Mexican food joint?
Oh, Mexicasa.
But who?
Mexicasa.
Mexicasa?
Mexicasa.
Mexicasa, okay.
Mexicasa. M-E-X-I.
Well, I've only been there once. And that was in 2010 when I was out here the first time.
Wait a minute. You've been out here since November and we haven't gone back to Mexicasa?
No, and I do want some Mexican.
Are you sure?
Food. You know, you don't even have a Whataburger out here.
Who the hell did I go to Mexicasa with?
You got everything out here and no Whataburger.
What the hell is a Whataburger?
Oh, get that.
You mean Whataburger?
What the hell? Burger,
not Whataburger.
Oh.
Well, I guess you...
Whataburger.
Just the way you like. It sounded like you were saying Whataburger.
It always sounds like that.
That's how you can weed out the non-Texans from the group. You know? Repeat what I just said. Whataburger.
Whataburger.
Well, okay, but when you say it, it sounds like Whataburger.
Yeah.
But I don't have the Kitty? Like a I don't have like a slang or anything.
And he's been out here for 3 years.
Hold on. Kitty.
Yeah.
Say Whataburger.
Whataburger.
Tim.
Whataburger.
That's what Kitty. I said. Whataburger. Now I said Whataburger because you were looking at me.
So, Sieb, say Whataburger 5 times fast.
Whataburger 5 times fast.
What a burger. Oh, okay. Oh.
Yep. All right. Whataburger, 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 Whataburger.
I heard Whataburger.
Nah, you gave up there after the second Whataburger.
Why the hell am I saying Whataburger 5 times fast for anyway?
It's fun. And that's how we...
Well, clearly, I got bored after the second time.
It's because you haven't tasted the deliciousness that is Whataburger.
Yeah, I should have.
They serve you bread in
I don't want to go to a place called Whataburger and get bread. I want a freaking
like
burger.
Side. Well, you can get
I want to take a bite into it and just sit there, lean back in the chair, maybe smoke a cigarette, even though I don't smoke tobacco.
You're not supposed to eat this burger. Not
but hold on. I'm setting something up here. Just run with me on this one. Actually, really sit with me. You just take a bite and you lean back and it's you take it all in and then just exclaim, "What a burger!" If it is anything less than that experience, I claim false advertising.
Well, you know, that's how that place got its name, is because whenever they made their first burgers, people would eat it. And the guy said, well, we need to come up with the title of this joint. So he's like, well, whenever people eat my burger, I want them to sit back and say, wow, what a burger. And that's how they got the name, What a Burger. It's been like a Texan establishment for, I don't know, I think since like the 40s or 50s or something like that.
I think the 50s, institution. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't worked at one at some point in my adult career, whatever.
You did? You worked at a Whataburger?
Yeah, in Dallas for like 6 months.
Well, there's also an In-N-Out in Dallas now, or that it's actually been there for a few years now.
Yeah, I went to one a couple of years ago, I think. It was all right. I wasn't that impressed, but it was okay. I know I went to one in Vegas when I went to Vegas a few years ago. It was pretty good. And then when I was here in 2010, I went to one more probably close to where you're at, but I didn't like it at all.
Oh, the one off of like Sunset over by Hollywood High School?
It could be. I can't even remember where I was at. I know there were signs for Compton, so I kind of didn't go too much further.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you were on
that's
the 91.
The east side.
So...
You were in the ghetto Hollywood.
Okay. I had no clue. All I knew was I had to go, and I had to go now.
So about a year ago, since we're kind of on the topic-ish of being on the wrong side of town in L.A., a good buddy of mine moved out here from Houston, I guess last February or so, or two Februaries ago. So February 2014. And so we got to hanging out, and I thought, well, let me show him a good time around town and take him to all the cool places. Well, heard about this groovy place that's downtown that's open all night long, kind of like this after-hours thing. But it's kind of like you had to be in the know to know where to go. And to make a very long story short, we ended up walking the entire stretch of Skid Row dressed to the nines in our Los Angeles Saturday night attire, trying to locate this joint. And instead, we ended up, you know, down the long road of tents, trash can fires, pieces of paper just rolling. I mean, it's not just like tumbleweed, you know? In Skid Row, it's like paper rolling. You know, there's like boots rolling, you know, down the street.
I think you killed the cat.
Sorry, you mentioned tumbleweed. It made me think of something.
I know. I can't believe we didn't talk about that last week.
Yeah, remind me.
We'll have to talk about it.
I think the Knights have been smoking a little tumbleweed. Because
no.
Siebes did say that she did not smoke tobacco.
Technically, I don't smoke pot either. Or crack.
I never got into that.
Or heroin.
So, yeah.
At the moment, I don't smoke anything.
You mean like at the moment, like right now moment?
No.
Okay.
No.
I think you're Al-Qaeda. That's Al-Qaeda talk right there.
No. No, I'm getting off on technicality. It's something I haven't... It's a story I've shared many times. I have switched over to using a vaporizer. So at the moment, I don't smoke anything.
That's good. Hey, I may or may not have one as like the staple of my coffee table. It's like an ornament. So whenever people come over, it's like, oh, here's my television. Here's my record player. And there's my vaporizer over here on my coffee table.
I will flip on the video and here you go. This is P2V2. It actually has an R2-D2 skin on it.
Oh, wait, show it again. I just, oh.
Yep. And it, see, but they're missing a golden opportunity on this. They do actually call this P2V2.
Right.
And they got the little vapor right here. But I can't believe that they don't have a Darth Vader one. Because you could so easily call it Darth Vapor.
Give them time. They will. I told you they will eventually.
I think you have a marketing idea right now. Right there. Patent that shit.
No, just put that out there. Someone make it. It'll make me laugh. But
so since you have video one, I'm just going to sit here and just stare at you and judge you for no reason for the entire length of our conversation.
Oh, well, I was going to do that anyway, but even, yeah, just audio only.
Strongbow, nice, gold apple. I had a mix for my libation of the evening. I was running low on both Jack Daniels and Bulleit Rye, so I decided to mix them together, and I gotta say, Fountain of Youth, right here.
Wow, really? Well, I want to try the, is it the Crown Royal, the apple that just came out?
Crown Royal, oh, yeah.
I haven't tried any of that. For some reason, I haven't got on this apple cider kick lately. I was drinking Red's Apple Ale,
mm-hmm.
and that's pretty good. I tried this strawberry ale. Yeah, not so great.
I think, apple cider in general is becoming, like, such a niche thing, especially in Los Angeles, or maybe in general, just kind of like how maybe 4 or 5 years ago, avocado became, like, the coolest thing to get. Like, you go to Subway, and it's like, oh, hey, here's your side of avocado for $2 more. Now it's going to be like, well, you want cider? That's going to be a $3 surcharge.
Yeah, I did notice all the guacamole and the avocado kick that was going around. I always liked the words. I never only had one of those. I've always liked avocado. Someone around here doesn't.
Nope.
But it's all right. Every time I go to Chipotle, I've got to get the guacamole on it. And I do like the Chipotle.
I think I've
now.
Told this, said this before, but it's actually funny that I don't like avocado.
It's a personal thing, isn't it?
I just don't like the texture of it.
No.
It's just weird. Weirds me out.
So if you don't like avocado, do you like squash and mushrooms?
I do not like mushrooms, and squash is very, very difficult for me.
Okay, well, that makes sense then.
Yeah.
Because I know people
bananas
are like,
too.
Oh, man. Oh, you don't like bananas?
Oh, I love bananas. I just can't eat them. It makes me want to throw up.
I like air, but I just can't breathe it.
Shut up. Fuck you.
Wait, what does it make you hurl?
It's just there's something disgusting about the texture.
That's true.
Vitamin C, potassium?
No, I'm good. I'm good with all that.
Is it the squishy bananas, or can you eat the like the firm green bananas?
It's the squishy. I haven't tried the firm green.
What about like a banana pop kind of?
Like artificially flavored banana stuff?
No.
Oh, like frozen bananas?
Yeah.
Like the Bluth frozen banana type of thing with the chocolate on it, like the dipped bananas?
Yeah. I have seen those at the store. They have sliced bananas. They're covered in dark chocolate, and they're in the freezer case.
Mm.
Damn, there goes the bomb.
Yep.
Fireworks again.
Indeed. Disneyland fireworks are going off right now.
Yeah.
Stupid. So how is Vegas, by the way? And I see that you guys saw the SLS cast hotel.
Yes.
That was there?
Yes, the SLS hotel. In fact, yeah, we... I think that is actually the first time that you said SLS cast. I think it finally occurred 23 minutes in. I am impressed, Tim.
Oh, my name is Tim, and I'm a part of the SLS cast with Matt and Tim. We post shows usually, either every Wednesday or every Thursday, depending on time and life and work and how much editing I have to do.
Dude, In fact, you gotta just do it live.
Well, we don't own a mixer, and I live in West Hollywood. Shit goes down outside all the time.
So you'd be afraid of picking up noises?
I mean, you hear like sirens, helicopters, and
well, did you
it's like Grand
the
Theft Auto right outside. No, I did not.
Oh, well, that's disappointing. Usually we get the... Well, no, that's when the baseball is going on, and you hear
the
fireworks.
Helicopters, yeah.
Helicopter? What the hell did you get?
I don't know.
Fuck,
I don't know.
Fireworks.
Yeah, I really don't know where that one came from. I was...
Wow.
I always hear helicopters when I go into LA, and I stopped listening for half a second. I didn't realize you were listening. Words make good hard.
Yes, I was talking about the fireworks. Things blowing up in the air.
Yeah, and there's helicopters up in the air. And what if
those
they blew
are not
up?
Going off and blowing up in the air, thankfully.
I'm just looking at Twitter, seeing everything that's going on.
So where'd you guys stay in Las Vegas?
Where else would a couple of nights stay?
The Flamingo.
Of course.
Definitely the Excalibur.
Yeah, the Excalibur.
A weird place, but...
Before I went to Planet Hollywood, Excalibur was the first hotel that kind of creeped me out. There were
really?
So many piercings going on there.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, because they have the ladies that are hula hooping fire rings and stuff. I don't know if...
Hell, we didn't see any of that.
Yeah, that was like at 2 p.m. on Valentine's Day that I saw that.
I got ripped off. I didn't get to see hula hoops on fire.
You can reenact it right now if you want. Do you have a hula hoop and stuff to light on fire?
Oh, we got stuff to light on fire. There's no worry about that. Well,
do you have the hula hoop?
I. No.
Damn.
The only hula hoop that I've used in the last few years belongs to my sister. So, and they're not just three doors down, so I can't just walk over and grab it anytime I want anymore. Oh, yeah. But yeah, so we stayed at Excalibur and
well, had we known the SLS was there, we probably would have given you guys a call. And you know, hey, what's going on? Hook us up, dudes. But no.
By the way, do you know what SLS stands
for?
You
might own it, but we don't. It's not the silver lenticular screen.
I was very... Actually, it is.
What?
The hotel?
The hotel, yes. SLS stands for silver lenticular screen. If you
they
want it to.
They stole our shit.
If you want it to.
I was about to sue them. I had my lawyer, the SLS cast lawyer, on speed dial, and...
Well, yeah. I asked one of the people in the casino, what does SLS stand for?
Mm-hmm.
And they did not say silver lenticular screen. That's what I was hoping. What the guy said was...
Loser sluts?
No, sexy looking security. I was happy. I was very happy with that answer.
Oh, man.
I was thrilled that you people had a monkey club in there.
Yep.
Wise choice. I like it.
And then the next person that we asked, he told us that it meant so long, Sahara.
Really? Well, speaking of sexy looking security, do you guys watch porn ever? Kat, do you watch porn? You're from Texas.
No. Don't watch the porn.
Well, okay, I never really watch porn, hardly ever. But I was reading an article that in Vegas, it's kind of like a sexy, cool thing. When the porn ladies go and they try to find sexy security guards, take them up to their suite, and, you know, whim, bam, thank you, ma'am, or thank you, security. But I mean, if you're interested or anything.
No, just saw the people handing out the cards for dates.
For the Orgasm Clinic.
For the what clinic?
The Orgasm Clinic.
The Orgasm?
Orgasm. Orgasim. Yep.
I didn't see that person. I did see the picture, but I missed out meeting that person.
What the hell is going on Twitter? So, if you would like to interact with the live show, you can send us a tweet at Movie Nights Pod.
It's a love fest going on out there.
Apparently, that's a line that we can take out of the opener. And hey, you didn't actually say... Did you actually say that?
What?
We never even got to that part of it. We are technically still in the opener, are we not?
I don't know. What was I supposed to say? The
your line. See, it's green. That means it's you.
Oh, at Movie Nights Pod?
Yeah, but oh. I just said it.
Okay. Well, it's Matt and Johnny out there loving each other.
Oh,
to infinity.
Jim's out
and
there.
Beyond.
That doesn't surprise me.
To infinity and beyond what?
Johnny's saying he loves Matt more and Matt loves Johnny mostest. Most of all, and then some. Love you, infinity plus one. I like this one from Matt. Love you like the black hole in Interstellar.
I was just looking at that one.
Haven't seen that movie, but that's just funny to me.
Did that come out on Blu-ray or DVD yet?
No.
Just about.
It's Tuesday, right? I think it's just Tuesday.
It's Saturday?
Well. Okay. Fair enough.
It's the Canada shirt you're wearing. It's
indeed.
Okay.
Indeed.
It's okay. I have family in North Dakota. Same thing.
So, I saw a movie last night.
Okay.
SpongeBob? 50 Shades?
Cinderella.
And wasn't it good?
That was... Oh my god, that was everything I love about Disney. That was the best princess movie they have ever done.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, I think since the early 90s, I have never had... Or, hang on a sec. I think since maybe Ratatouille... I haven't enjoyed a Disney movie so much. And if you discount Pixar, it's been a while. Like, maybe, I don't know, 90s Disney cartoons.
See, coming fresh off Frozen, I am one of the people that absolutely adore that movie.
Frozen?
Yeah, the connection between the sisters. I spent that entire movie thinking about my little sister. I absolutely loved it. So I don't know. I'm a Disney dork though. I pretty much love everything that they put out.
I thought about killing more brain cells as I was watching the movie.
Actually, I didn't think that one was so bad. I mean, it's not my favorite. I can't quote the movie. I've seen
I
it
have
once.
No idea what cramps feels like, but I can only imagine that cramps feels like the pain that I was enduring while watching Frozen.
We got
more so in Brave than Frozen. I didn't care
wow.
for Brave either.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was it that explained cramps to us? Was it Honey? White Trash? That it's like needing to go to the bathroom really bad, and you can't, so... That was the description we got.
Yes, Honey did say that.
So now that's I know good. What cramps feels like. So yeah, I've had that.
I don't think you know what cramps feels like.
Well, that's not very comfortable when you have to go number two really bad. And, you know, it's just not I guess there's no park available for me to pull off the road onto. So.
Well, I think when you have to go to the bathroom really bad, you have an evacuation switch. I think with cramps, the thing is that you... don't have that luxury of having an evacuation button thing. Because if you got a shit, you can just shit wherever. But if you got the cramps, you got to ride it out.
Yeah.
Yummy.
You learn things here.
Wow.
I like this.
So I saw Cinderella last night.
Anybody care for a kale smoothie?
Stop killing the cat.
Kale is fun.
Oh, my God.
She asked me what the both of you thought about it, and I thought that you neither one of you liked it. But I guess I was wrong. I'd heard somewhere somebody was really not liking this movie.
No, Matt was going to give it like a 3.75 after 5.
Yeah,
but after my wonderful
review,
down a bit. He knocked it up to 4. I loved it because it brought out that kind of like giddiness, you know, that I remember having when I was a kid watching classic, or what is considered now classic Disney movies, that to me, I think have kind of been missing in a lot of like Frozen, which they're all like worried about trying to teach like a lesson or morals. Whereas Cinderella, they weren't really trying to teach you an overall message or moral, really.
Oh, I wholeheartedly disagree with that.
Yes, they did, but they did in a way to where also it had like the classic feeling, it was just very lush and magnificent and whimsical. There you go. Whimsical, classic Disney whimsical. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Especially when it comes to the costuming.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
And everything from the opening where the little baby and they're talking about young Ella, she, had an imagination, yada, yada, and shows her, like, grabbing at the clouds, and she pulls one of the clouds down, and it turns out to be a piece of cotton or something. Just stuff like that, those little moments, which really made the movie totally worthwhile. And I really didn't feel bad going to see that at 9:30 a.m. on a Saturday with a bunch of three-year-olds.
The thing I thought was just so wonderful about it was it had the classic Disney princess, the overall message of just believe. That's
sure.
Some people slam Disney for that, but and they look into it and you can go back. You can trash Cinderella. You can trash Snow White.
I have your permission. Sweet.
You can do all of that, but one thing that people always tend to forget when they're trashing these movies and start talking about all of the women just waiting around for their prince to come and save them, they were sending a message back then to just believe in something better. And
sure.
that's something that and when you look at these films in the time frame that they were released, it makes a bit more sense as to why they weren't more empowering. Just the fight for equal rights was still being established when Snow White was. I mean, God, what was that? That was in the 30s, right?
Right.
Snow White? Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, God, I want to say 37, maybe?
37.
Yeah. So.
Wow, I didn't know it was that old.
Yeah. There's been a lot of progress since then. So if you go back and look at it with as a product of the time, they are at least sending a very positive message, and that's something I've always liked about them. But now you fast forward to 2015, and we get this Cinderella, and frankly, I think that they've really honed their storytelling ability. They made the characters a lot more dynamic. I mean, we actually get to understand why Lady Tremaine is so cruel,
sure,
to Cinderella. I mean, we actually get that part of her backstory. In fact, I think you and Matt already kind of touched on that.
So this
we
is,
did, yeah.
Okay, this is the live action. Is it changed the story a whole lot, or does it stick closer to?
Well, what's really important that they don't meddle around with is like the critters. You know, like in the animated movie, there was a lot of emphasis on like the mouse and the cat and, you know, all the goofy stuff they were doing. And this one, you definitely have, like, the CGI, you know, mice and whatever. But it's honed down definitely to where it's not campy. You know, they focus more on Cinderella and the sisters. And what I loved is that it focused on the prince more. And it made him just a really genuinely a nice guy, which kind of helped out with the fact that, Cinderella didn't have to be beautiful and wear that elaborate gown to really catch his eye. For example,
yeah, he fell in love with her because of who she was, how she saw the world. She challenged him. It was a deeper dimension to the character than anything that we've seen yet.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know. It sounds like I probably would like it if there was enough of a change, kind of like a, what is it, the Sleeping Beauty?
Oh, like with Maleficent?
Yeah, Maleficent.
Maleficent was fun just because it was from a different perspective. Ooh, you did not like Maleficent, huh?
Oh, it was... Yeah, it was messy. It was all over the place.
I did... You know, I didn't see it in a theater. I watched it when you got the Blu-ray. And it was something I was never going to watch until you said, we're watching this. I thought, okay.
Well, hang on. Were you enjoying your R2-D2 vaporizer while you were watching it?
No.
Oh, so you were completely sober?
I wouldn't say I was, but...
What, during Maleficent?
Yeah. I'd had drinks. I don't do anything else. I drink, but...
No, I was not enjoying any substance while viewing Maleficent or Cinderella.
There was a movie I watched today that I wish I had been.
There was a movie that we watched today that I had to start having a little.
Oh, are you talking about?
We are talking about our, well, hey, we haven't played our themes in a while, so why not bring back?
The Flick Pick.
Our flick pick for today, normally I would say this evening, but we watched it earlier today to prepare for the show. Well, Tim, you recommended Horns to us.
In a way.
You're flicking me off.
No,
I
not
think.
You.
I saw you
trying to get his attention without actually smacking him.
Oh. I just saw a finger going up.
I'm glad the video's on for someone could witness that.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay. What is this movie about? Okay. So Harry Potter plays this dude. And his chick, his I shouldn't say chick, his girlfriend, yeah, she dies,
and he gets blamed.
Exactly. And during this time, he starts getting these horns, these devil horns, growing out of his head.
After the entire town, it has just completely berated him. No one believes him except for his best friend and lawyer.
Right. No. Yeah. But what was interesting, or what could be interesting on paper, and in theory, it's interesting. Whenever he encounters these townsfolk, he kind of has this, not necessarily power over them, and like brings out their deepest, darkest thoughts and feelings and whatnot. And instead of saying what they probably would normally say, they kind of say what they're actually thinking about in the, you know, pits of their mind. And so he's able to
access that and he has found himself more persuasive as of late.
Right, yeah, and all this time he's trying to find the guy who really killed his girlfriend, and
even though it's blatantly fucking obvious from the moment that he met his girlfriend as a kid, it's so obvious who killed her.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, that's one thing I find with a lot of movies. We're reviewing the movie Calvary Gleason's in it, but the supporting actor, I'm trying to think of his damn name.
Chris O'Dowd?
Did you ever see that? Huh?
Chris O'Dowd?
Chris O'Dowd, yes.
Oh,
thank
from
you
Bridesmaids
so
and...
No, wait, no, hang on. I can't say that because you guys have not seen it, so... And if I continue with that, I'm going to ruin the ending of the movie. So I kind of just put my foot in my mouth and not continue that.
Okay.
So I'm just going to...
So Calvary, that's another one that we should watch.
Yeah, Calvary's really good. Brendan Gleeson's awesome.
When's he not?
That is true.
you know,
horns.
Yeah.
I got to say that after watching this, I don't want to have any kind of a donut again. Donuts are nasty.
I've had bowel movements that were more entertaining than watching horns.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I've like I haven't felt so compelled to completely bitch about a movie since Transformers 4.
But I think that's something that actually makes it a little bit enjoyable.
I don't know, like...
You have a strong reaction to a movie. And don't get... This is a...
Enjoyable for you?
In the official Midnight Movie Nights rating system, I give this a full-on hated it. And I don't hate it very often. No. I usually, you know...
You'll give a movie a chance.
I was raised somehow in the Disney way. I always try and find the fucking bright side. But there is no bright side to this movie.
There was a moment whenever he started to get persuasive with people and he got it, that it looked like it was going to be kind of fun. But
yeah, they had some fun stuff in it. But the entire movie could have been condensed down to 30 minutes.
Yeah, it could have been a story for some kind of just a random show, TV show, like a Twilight Zone, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I would have preferred Daniel Radcliffe sitting down in a chair, looking at the camera, and giving his own synopsis or plot outline of the entire movie for an hour and 50 minutes. And I would have been totally okay with that. It would have been fine. But I mean, it's like what I said in the review is that it goes to show how important it is for studios to find one either known or one really good actor or a handful of good actors or, you know, supporting players to be in these kind of movies. Because when the movie sucks, you know that those actors, those good actors, might be worthwhile to watch as the movie goes on. And really, that's what really kept me from, you know, not turning off the movie, was because of Daniel Radcliffe. I like him. I think he's cool.
But it was also so weird. And Katie brought this point up. You see the younger version of the character, and I'm completely on Ig. You see the young Iggy. And they did a decent job of casting, except that they were trying to find someone who looks like a young Daniel Radcliffe.
I couldn't get past that it wasn't him.
He wasn't Harry Potter, damn it!
Everyone knows what he looks like as a kid.
That snaps you out of the movie. You don't cast a young version of Daniel Radcliffe. I'm sorry.
Go put some CGI to work with. Go get some Harry Potter footage from.
Put a fucking lightning bolt scar on him. You know, just. Oh my god! Just snap me out of the movie. Why don't you?
Yeah, all the other people as kids, I could see it. I bought it, but him, no, I just couldn't see it.
And then once you brought that up, that's all I could see. I was willing to forgive that. It was just kind of whatever. But then the freaking snakes, man! Like, everything about this movie just kept making me think of freaking Harry Potter.
Harry Potter!
Yeah, he has now charmed this snake and is talking, you know, to his friend, the snake. You know, it's a fucking parcel tongue.
Yeah, and
everything made me think of Harry Potter.
And it's not just the, you know, like the story that I had issues with. It was also how they shot the movie. Like, usually when you watch a movie, it's you know, the main action, you know, the present story or what's going on now looks one way. And then when they have a flashback, it's all, you know, dreamlike or different, you know, it has a different look to it. With this movie, the movie just consistently looks the same. And it's not a good look to, you know, to have that look, you know, for the consistent running time. That annoyed me, I think, the most out of everything. Just the sheer look of the movie.
That makes sense now that you mention that. I can see that.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't go back and look at it specifically because I'm not going to go back and watch this movie again.
It's not worth taking 20 seconds to go back to Netflix and looking at one shot. That's how bad this movie is.
What really bothered me was... at one point during the watching, just realized, okay, I've had a lot of water. Kind of need to go to the bathroom. So we pause it for a litter box break. And see, we are 59 minutes and 59 seconds in. We've still got another full hour to go. And this movie, it was painfully obvious where they were going with it. Like 15 minutes in, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
So 45 minutes later, when you give up and finally just, all right, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Oh my God, there's an hour more?
I've still got to go through another fuck? Hour of this. I thought you were crying too. So. Don't want to finish this. I know what's going to happen.
I know. Okay, there were a couple of silly little things that made me like the scene with the cops. Although they should have done it the first time. Yeah.
Oh, that scene.
Yeah. They were going over the top with this one childhood friend, always, you know, always talking about, you know, how everything is gay and calling each other homos, but he's the one who, you know, if you want the cherry bomb, you gotta ride down the log jam in the cart naked.
Yeah.
You homo. Wait, you're the one who wants them to go down. You know, like, it's just stupid shit like that they were throwing in. And then the entire scene, you know, when they're adults and the two friends are cops, they're talking about thinking about each other when they masturbate. And it's like, okay, you've got this new power of persuasion. Just make them fuck. Just go for it. That's
Oh, sorry. Wait, we said we're gonna spoil the hell out of this. So.
Yeah, who gives a crap?
And that leads me on to my next complaint about this movie. That the entire, like, every single bit of humor in this movie is so freaking juvenile. It is ridiculous. It's over the top, juvenile humor. I'm totally fine for like sexy, racy humor. If it's witty, if it's done right, not when it's just so in your face and very one dimensional, you know, I like a little bit of depth, you know, and a little bit of oomph behind, you know, some kind of reasoning or whatever.
What was I saying the entire way through the movie?
While
we were watching it, I kept throwing my arms up in the air and screaming one thing in particular.
Why are we watching this?
No. it was just,
is it over yet?
So simple.
Yeah. You did keep saying that.
It just, it had those moments where when I think about them after the fact and isolate them, some of them, yeah, they were funny. There were some actual funny moments, but all put together, and
I think at some point they did try to redirect where your mind was going to go, but it was already too late. I think.
Oh, it was just so.
I know it was obvious. It was that obvious, but after that, that's when they tried to redirect.
You can't have when the guy is meeting, you know, his girlfriend, you know, his long-term girlfriend that he wants to marry and spend the rest of his life with, and you have that lovely opening sequence. By the way, we'll come back to that fucking opening sequence. You know, and the best friend, you know, spoilers. We're gonna spoil the living hell out of this movie. Ha.
We didn't give a warning.
Living hell.
Nice.
All right. Yeah. When they are meeting and there's this event about surrounding a cross that she was using to send Morse code and her dad is played by David Morse.
That was awesome.
That was kind of funny. when the friend is like, you know, I love her too. I am the one who fixed the cross. Like, okay, he killed her. It's the friend. Right there. Hello. Big sign right there. The friend's the one who killed her. And that's 15 minutes into the fucking movie.
At least it wasn't Scott Mosier.
The brother did look like Scott Mosier.
And if I'd said something, I'm going to see if Tim gets this. When I called the dad Ajax, you, James Remar, would you know the reference?
No.
Wait. Hold on. Don't spoil that one yet. Okay. Let's put it out there for Twitter.
Oh, just
go ahead.
Just tweet it.
No.
Oh, the reference of James Remar as when I called him Ajax. Would anyone get that reference of what movie I'm talking about?
Yeah. First one to answer correctly gets their tweet read. Yeah. Yeah. That is the pinnacle of excitement, folks. You can have your tweet read live on Midnight Movie Nights.
And not you, Matt. Matt, you were disqualified.
And you and your just went dead.
You and your Wikipedia searches.
Oh, you're not allowed to look. I didn't get the reference, but I've only seen the referenced material once. So
I've seen it several times.
Maybe we should watch it again.
We will.
Horns?
No.
Oh, God, no. Or hell no.
I'm thinking about giving up my Netflix now.
The movie was so bad. You're going to...
Yes, Team White
drop
Trash.
Netflix.
Yeah.
Except we watched it on my Netflix account, and I'm not giving up on it.
Well, but it's that can, bad you, that you, I'll give you, up you, my Netflix account.
You can drop your Netflix account.
This movie.
Team White Trash says at Movie Nights Pod, I don't know the answer, but can you read my tweet anyway?
No.
No, we're not going to do that. let's see. Jim says he will accept no talk of opening sequences until at Movie Nights Pod verify they've watched Touch of Evil. Okay, fine. We won't talk about the opening sequence. We will talk about the closing sequence. And Jim Browning says at Movie Nights Pod, hashtag the Warriors.
You go, Jim.
They come out to play. Oh, yeah. So let's talk about that closing sequence.
Really bad special effects.
How fucking lame was it that they just turned around and repeated the opening sequence now that we've seen the entire movie and we get the little quip
ending. Yeah.
We get the little quip about him being horny.
Yeah, that was the first line in the movie and I was out of it.
And then and then get this. Oh, he's getting warmer. Even though he was just set on fire and turned to fucking ash.
Yeah, that whatever the hell he was.
He was a fucking demon.
That was bad.
If you want to experience the headaches that are caused by cramps, watch Horns.
I can't believe that they just recycled the opening sequence as if like they were somehow cleverly tying it all together. I mean, fuck, what was the director? 19 years old?
12.
Let's meet somewhere in the middle. Let's go with 14.
Okay. So before you went and rated it, you know, a one star, what was it What was its suggested rating for you? Do you remember?
No, I don't. And I wouldn't even give it one star.
But you, I mean,
when I say I hated it, I commit, I full on hate it. As much as I loved Cinderella last night, the amount of love I have for that, the exact opposite, you know, same magnitude, but complete and, you know, 180 degrees the other direction, loathe Horns. Yeah,
I can say I didn't like it either. I mean, I don't have as much hate for it, but I definitely have a don't like for it at all. Like I said, I'm going to get rid of my Netflix.
That's 2 hours and pee time that I will never get back from my life. And this makes me very, very sad.
It makes me feel even worse because I watched it sober. So how do you think I feel?
It's bad when you're trying to smoke away a movie while it's still airing.
Yeah, I had delicious Mexican food from Toluca Lake. I had a couple beers, or a few margaritas, a couple beers, and I was drinking a nice Jack Daniels and ginger ale. Perfect atmosphere. And I hated it. Ah, God, that's got to say something. It's like when you hear that Ron Swanson hates something or loathes something. You know it's pretty damn bad.
I think I'd rather watch The Interview again. And that was one I gave a didn't hate it. And the one that I said that probably made me sick.
I think I would want to finish watching The Interview before I watch Horns again.
I'll take this time to say that my name is Tim, and I currently work for Sony Pictures Entertainment.
Oh!
And my comments and criticisms do not reflect those of Sony Pictures Entertainment.
I forgot you work for the studio that released that piece of shit on the world.
It's okay. They released my Social Security out as well. So.
Yeah.
Well, at least he doesn't work for the mouse.
I've worked for the mouse.
I'm forgiving you for that, mostly.
Disney or ABC?
Disney.
Disney?
Yep. I worked at Disneyland for 5 years and then spent another year and a half working at Downtown Disney.
What was better, Disney or Downtown Disney?
Oh, Disney, hands down.
What was your favorite ride to monitor?
I did not work any rides. I worked in restaurants.
Waitress?
The restaurant, I started out at the French Market.
Were you the urinal sponger? No. Like, did you have to wring out the urinal cakes?
No, and you really shouldn't eat those. They don't taste very well, and don't rinse your mouth out with the lemonade next to them. Now I'm just ripping off that new Jim Parsons movie. Oh my God, speaking of which, what is it, Home?
Yeah.
Is that a Sony production?
No, that's okay. DreamWorks.
All right, yeah. So you can shred that all you want?
Sure. Well, I mean, Chappie is absolutely horrible. That's a Sony movie.
I haven't seen that yet. In fact, that's horrible. What we were planning on seeing last night. But
fuck it. If you thought Horns was bad, this might... Chappie is almost as bad as Horns.
Chappie your ass.
It's crappy Chappie.
That was better.
But also Sony they did Sony Classics. They had a great year. They did Foxcatcher and Whiplash. So, you know, there's been some good movies.
Yeah. Oh no, of course.
But no,
there's quite a few Sony movies that I enjoy. I just particularly did not enjoy The Interview so much so that I turned it off and I never finished watching it. So I would actually say that I enjoyed Horns more, because I did actually go back and even after stopping Horns, I did go back and finish it. Let's talk about Home, this new animated Jim Parsons thing, where he plays the alien that can't stop dancing. You know, he's waving his arms around like he just doesn't care. Have you seen the previews for this?
I did, yeah.
Okay. Sounds like... You know, I imagine what happened was he walked in to read for this part. And he did something interesting, something that no one expected. And some bullshit studio exec just said, yeah, we were really hoping that you could do Sheldon for this one.
Oh, damn.
Because that's... If Sheldon was actually an alien, so you take him just one step to the extreme past where he is on The Big Bang Theory, you know, the character of Sheldon Cooper, and apply that voice to a cute, cuddly little alien that has problems controlling his body.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't get typecast for movies, because I know he has a really good Broadway
director.
You know, if
he does, it's his own fault.
What? Oh, for being a part of Big Bang?
No, for actually turning around and not controlling his career. Oh, well, but if
well, he has done Broadway. I think he did the lead in like Harvey some years ago and did really, really well. Also, he went to my high school.
And when you hear when you hear him do interviews and I've heard him on a few different podcasts and everything, completely different person. He is absolutely wonderful.
Sure.
But if he keeps giving in and doing the same character over and over again, it's his fault if he gets typecast.
Oh yeah, no, I see what you mean. Yeah, no, you're right. I agree. I mean that's how it is with a lot of people. Like with Eddie Murphy, you know, for a while. A long ass while.
Yep. Yep.
Or Mike Myers.
See, okay, so we started out, well, we really just spent the last hour or so. Not even the last hour, but ever since we started talking about horns, it's just, it's gone nasty. There's angry, boiling blood. I will say one good thing about horns, though. There was one moment in there where something hit really close to home for me, and I had a very strong emotional reaction to it. So I say bravo to the actors and the director and writer for that one moment.
What was that moment?
I don't really want to talk about that. it hit home.
Is it when you turn into the Satan?
No, no. It was something.
You said that. It sounded like the church lady. Satan?
Turn into the Satan?
I'll gladly tell you off the air, but not really something that, yeah, no, I don't. There's certain things I just don't want to talk about on air. And
yeah, no, of course.
And that's one of them.
If so, I had to say any, I mean, there are some positive things I will say about the movie, is that some of the supporting, like the I forget his name, but he was in Across the Universe. He played his good friend or his brother. I forgot.
Joe Anderson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's him. Yeah. He's good. He's usually good.
Scott
in whatever
Mosier.
I see him in. Yeah. And and Daniel Radcliffe did, you know, he was a, you know, his screen presence was, you know, warm and welcome. I guess. Yeah. And there were some cool scenes with some cool colors that were kind of trippy and, you know.
Yeah, there were some interesting effects done.
Yeah. I thought the kill scene with the bad guy at the end was kind of cool. I would hate for a snake to enter my body in that way.
Yes.
Yeah, that was messed up.
A real snake. Like a reptile snake.
Yeah, except, okay, everything, the entire leading up to it, everything, there were so many jokes that the juvenile jokes, you know, and frankly, we could go at them, whatever, but we were expecting the snake to come back out of him, specifically just right back out the pants. And what did you call it, Kitty?
What, when you said that? I said, what, the trouser snake?
Exactly. Come on. They went with every lowbrow joke. Just finish it off. I mean, he was horny after all. And that's Midnight Movie Nights for this week.
It's always Nights with a K.
The trouser snakes podcasting.
Hey, we never said that we weren't above infantile humor.
That's no joke. You got a whoopee cushion last week.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Satan!
The Midnight Movie Nights podcast is listed in iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, and a few TuneIn also, and a few other podcast directories.
The live show starts at 9 p.m. Pacific. We are getting good with that time now.
No, we're not.
Yeah, and our webpage is over at midnightmovienights.com. It's also where you can find the live stream.
And on Twitter, we are at Movie Nights Pod. And if you need more than 140 characters, our email address is at contact@midnightmovienights.com. We also have a Facebook page, too. We haven't made that too public because, well, I was fixing a website problem. But now that I got that fixed and the posts are now going through properly, I think we'll start promoting that a little bit more. It's Midnight Movie Nights over on Facebook.
All right. We want to thank Mr. Brad Raven for our logo and that Judge Funky Boy, Tom Sherlock, for our theme, and DC Cantel for the segment intros. And do we have new followers?
Yeah, we do. Roshan G, Cinemaholic. That's her description.
Word.
Awesome. And Steve Mudflap McGrew.
Awesome.
Indeed.
Very awesome.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot of fun seeing him. We talked about that a bit
last week,
but
Vegas, baby.
That was just the greatest way to start off that trip. Yeah. All right. Well, who else would we like to thank, Katie?
And this is Tim from the SLS Cast.
Well, that was fun. Okay. That.
I was about to ask who this was we were talking to.
Exactly.
I was going to thank everyone for listening and then say, so, Tim, what do you do?
Where can people find your stuff?
This is Tim from the SLS Cast with Matt and Tim. We talk about movies, we talk about life, and we just talk about how much we enjoy the movie nights. We dedicate at least 55 minutes of our hour and a half show talking about other people because that's how much we appreciate the podcasting family. Really, it's just like three shows we might talk about.
We do the exact same thing too. So
you can find us on Twitter at the SLS Cast. You can follow me, Tim, at TSLS Cast. You can follow Matt at nitwit12345, I think.
Yep.
We have a website, slscast.com, on Podbeam, Stitcher, iTunes. We were on Facebook, but Facebook deleted our page for some reason a few months back. Not sure what happened there.
Wow.
Maybe we were too racist or something.
Oh, God, no. We were listening to Garfunkel and Oates.
Remembering this stuff?
No. No, it's
was
just
your grandma
that,
in the car
stupid,
also?
No, it's just that lyric from Running with Chicken. It's a funny song. Garfunkel and Oates, listen to Running with Chicken. Oh my God, I'm blanking on their names. Ricky Lindhorn and the Gooch. Oh my God, the Gooch. Come on. Kate Masucci. There we go. Cute little band. They're hilarious. Angry white girls with a guitar and a ukulele. It's great. Oh. They have a few funny songs. I'll just leave it at that. Because I'm Miranda Janelle.
I'm that fracking cat.
And hey, Kitty, let's go watch another movie, shall we?
Who else was there? You get to say who he was?
He said who he was.
Okay.
Tim from the SLS Cast.
Let's go watch a movie.
Talking's hard.
Midnight Movie Nights.
Yeah.
Okay, so did I really just start laughing after Tim made a comment and said racist and then started talking about a band comprised of a couple of angry white girls?
Yes, I think you called them racist, or you alluded that they were racist.
No, they're not racist.
They were angry.
But yeah. Oh, that just did not work out. But the song's called Running with Chicken. There's a really funny line in there. And I have to say it at this point.
Yeah, you've got
to
say it now.
There's a line in there where they're talking about going running with chicken to solve all the world's ailments, and they say it's not racist because white people like chicken too.
Yeah, when I heard that, wait, did I just hear? Yeah, they're a couple of oddballs, but they're funny.
Oh, they're great. They're pregnant women are smug. That's another one of their. I don't think you've heard that one yet.
I haven't heard that one yet.
God, what was the one that was really making you crack up a lot? I would never dissect a new.
Oh, about science or something?
Yeah, it was a parody song to one of their other songs. Their radio edit, if you will. And so instead of I would never have sex with you, they started singing about I would never dissect an ew. Something about their science teacher. They were good with a frog, but when their science teacher gave them a sheep eyeball, they would never never dissect an ew because bah, ram, you.
Yeah, sheep eyeballs, they squirt at you when you cut into them.